If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome, Housewives of True Crime. Happy Monday. It's Tab here. Only doing the intro this week. Gretch is on spring break, and you probably noticed that Gretchen did a solo episode on Patreon last week. And if you have not listened yet or are not part of our bonus content, now is the time. You can get it on Clink Clink Club on Apple, bonus content on Spotify, or go to patreon.com/housewives of true crime. There's a new episode every single Thursday, plus you get every episode ad-free. So it's definitely worth it. All right. So before Gretchen begins this episode, which is one I absolutely think needs to be heard, let me tell you a bit of my own true crime case. My mom called me yesterday to tell me a story that went down at my niece's school with her friend. I'm just going to do fake names. So, you know, it's just happening right now. So let's say my niece's friend's name is Cassie. Well, she starts dating a new boy. Let's call him Jake. Cassie is on the track team with my niece, and so is Jake's ex-girlfriend, Lily. Okay, well, you know how that can be, a little awkward, right? The ex is on your team, whatever. It's high school. I feel like it's also normal because all these kids date each other. Anyways, after the track meet is over, Cassie walks out to her car and someone has keyed it bad, like the whole entire side is etched with big words, and they read her boyfriend's initials and the word whore. Well, Cassie obviously calls her parents and they call the police, and I'm sure you're thinking what I'm thinking. Lily is a bit jealous. Ex-girlfriend made a big mistake, you know, even bigger mistake in 2025 because there are cameras everywhere. Take note if you're going to do something like this. And sure enough, this high school does have cameras. So the police pull the footage from the school, and shocker, the person that was responsible was caught on camera. And the craziest part about it is that it was not Lily that did this damage. It was Lily's mother. You guys, Lily's mom came to the parking lot and keyed this poor girl's car. Like, what in the what? First, seriously, shame on you, lady. Like, what are you thinking? Secondly, you just humiliated your own daughter. Like, can you imagine what people are saying around town, around the school? I mean, I'm hearing it from my mom, for goodness sakes, and she's a grandma. So I hope that the apple fell really far from that tree, if you know what I mean. All right, well, enough about true crime in my hood or my stratosphere. Let's get to Gretchen's case this week. Clink, clink.
Hi, guys. Gretchen here. I'm solo again, so I'm just going to get right into the case. Today's case is a listener suggestion from Elise Marcel and Jeannie Brownell. Thank you so much for responding to my case suggestion request in the Facebook group, guys. Today's case is that of Christian Andracchio, which took place in Meridian, Mississippi in 2014, which is the eighth largest populated area in the state of around 35,000. Apparently, Mississippi isn't popping. Meridian looks green and quaint, lots of brick buildings. Todd and Ray Andricchio lived and raised their kids actually about 20 minutes from Meridian in Lauderdale, but we're mostly going to be talking about all things Meridian where their son Christian was living. Todd and Ray had three boys and a girl. Christian had been living at home with his parents along with his 13-year-old sister, Alexa, until he was 21. And I get why Christian didn't mind living at home, because his family had this beautiful home on the lake where Christian could just wake up and jet ski right out his backyard. And he loved that. He really loved the water. He really embodied the whole work hard, play hard mantra. He had a great job working on a tugboat on the Mississippi River. He worked 30-day stretches on the tug, and then he would come home for 15 days. The thing about those types of jobs that is so great is that over that period of time we were away at work, you're not spending any money because all your meals are provided. So your pay really adds up. It's a great thing for a young person. But it's also not surprising that when Christian came home, he wanted to go out a little extra, have a little extra fun, you know, 30 days. So Christian had a serious girlfriend. Her name was Avery, and they had been together for 6 years, and she loved her some Christian. She had a really good head on her shoulders and was really committed to school. She was studying to be a veterinarian, actually. And so from what I can gather, the relationship fell apart between Christian and Avery because she was not able to drop everything every time he got back in town. And you know, the distance is so hard when you're young. It gets easier as you get older, but it's hard when you're young. So Christian and Avery break up. And according to Christian's mom, Ray, there were no hard feelings, and she knew her son still had a place in his heart for Avery because he would always tell her, "I'm going to move out when I'm 27 because that's when Avery graduates from vet school." So, you know, it sounds like he still kind of held a torch for her. But it also wasn't about to stop him from seeing any new young ladies that came around. You know, he's this young, good-looking guy in his prime after all. So when Christian met Whitley Goodman at a party, it was on. Whitley's just cute as a bug. And unlike Avery, Whitley didn't have shit going on. She was 17 when Christian and her started hooking up. Okay, that gave me pause too. But I looked it up, and the statutory rape age in Mississippi is 16, so the relationship was legal. I digress. So 17-year-old Whitley told Christian that her mama had a new boyfriend and too many kids, and there was not room for her in the house anymore. And so Christian worked it out with his parents so she could live with them. At first, Todd and Ray liked her. They said she was very polite, but there were signs that not all was well with Miss Whitley. According to Ray, she started demonstrating some manipulative behavior, and it came to a head when it got kind of bizarre. One day, Whitley came to Ray and said, "I took this picture you had of Christian and Avery out of your bedroom, and I wanted to show you what I think of it." Remember, Avery's the ex-girlfriend, right? She had stabbed the picture. Cuckoo. Well, okay, obviously there's a few things wrong with this. Like, first of all, girl, stay out of my bedroom. And second, if you go in there, don't tell me. And then, of course, there's property damage. Now, you know, I get why Mama Ray kept the old girlfriend pic. She's thinking, like, someday they might get back together. They're going to be glad that she still has this picture of them when they were young and in love. At least she kept it in her bedroom and not on display in a communal area. Ray and Todd have their 13-year-old daughter in the home when all things with Whitley are just getting kind of weird. So they tell her she can't stay in the home any longer. Well, when this happened, Christian took the position that if she can't stay, I'm leaving. So he moved into an apartment with his brother, Josh, who also had the same type of job as him. The apartment was in Meridian, which was closer to work for Christian. So Christian let Whitley stay at the apartment and drive his BMW. Well, most of the time, you know, him and his brother, because of their schedules, they're off at work on the tugs all the time. So they're gone. She gets this apartment to herself. Christian was completely funding Whitley's life at this point. After the move out of the parents' house and into the apartment, Christian still remained close with his parents despite the kind of tense circumstances. And his mama would welcome Whitley back over to the house after that, you know, when she came like with Christian to visit. But she still did not stop being concerned about Whitley's behavior. She did not like that it seemed like Whitley was taking advantage of Christian. Now, Whitley's mom, she paints a very different picture of the relationship. She says Christian was controlling of Whitley. She says he would make her stay on the phone with him all night to make sure she wasn't cheating on him. She says Christian was very unstable and threatened Whitley by holding a gun to his and her head. I have to tell you, there are some texts that have surfaced from Christian to Whitley that support that. One specifically reads, "If this doesn't work, when I get to my apartment, I'm putting a pistol in my mouth and I'm ending this once and for all, because Whitley, you are the closest thing to happiness that I've ever felt." Okay. There are some questions about these texts. Obviously, I don't like them. They don't sound healthy. And I don't really know what was going on. Like, no one really knows what was going on in that relationship between Christian and Whitley at the time. There is some disagreement as to whether Christian would have ever held a gun to his head, because those closest to him say that not only do these texts just sound really, you know, out of his character, but doing something like that sounds really out of his character too. But they're out there, so I'm just giving you what I got. So there is some argument as to if the texts are valid or not, and I'm going to get into that later. But there kind of is no argument that the relationship between Whitley and Christian was just not working out. Recently, Christian had asked his brother Josh, when he was home and Christian was off at work, to give Whitley a drug test and to pack up her shit if she tested positive. Well, Whitley never took the test. She just admitted to Josh that she had been using, but she was still able to smooth things over with Christian enough to be able to stay. So just from the outside looking in, it's sounding unhealthy, right? It sounds toxic. It sounds like Whitley is treading on thin ice with Christian, which she doesn't like, but it, you know, she doesn't want to blow her meal ticket. Remember, he's like funding her whole life. So I can see why she's going to do whatever she needs to so he doesn't give her the boot. So Christian and Whitley had a mutual friend, Dylan. Dylan was kind of always around, and he would report back to Christian whatever Whitley was up to. Well, it also sounds like he's kind of a mooch. And Ray, Christian's mom, she didn't like this. And I don't really blame her. Dylan, like Whitley, also had an aversion to work, so Christian was always paying for everything when it came to the both of them. Now, something happened to Christian at work one day that was very dangerous. I don't know all the details, but I think it involved him falling overboard. So somehow this led to him conversing with several people about his life insurance, which is something I don't think most young people are ever talking about. And if they do, they don't care who benefits from it, because young people don't ever think they're like really dying. Well, as far as the beneficiary talk, there was one young person who cared, Whitley Goodman. When she learned Christian had a policy through work and his mama and his ex-girlfriend Avery were the beneficiaries, she was not happy about that. 17-year-old Miss Thing had a conversation with Christian that went something like this. "Christian, I've been needing that life insurance on you, because if something happens to you, what about me and the baby?" Christian was like, "What baby?" Whitley was like, "The one in my head. I mean, I'm not pregnant yet, but if I was, that baby." So I don't know that that's exactly how the conversation went between those two, but I do know there was a conversation about a baby that was a possibility that she wasn't pregnant with, but if she was, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the conversation ended with Whitley believing Christian had in fact changed the life insurance policy so she was the beneficiary. So the back and forth, toxic, messy relationship between Christian and Whitley continued. And all the while, Mooch Dylan is hanging around for all of it because Christian is picking up the tab for him to do so. And per usual, Christian leaves for one of his 30-day work trips that, you know, is kind of funding all this nonsense. Well, 5 days into his trip, he starts getting calls from Dylan, who, according to Christian's coworkers on the boat, was telling him, like, "Your girl Whitley is out here riding around with boys in your BMW up to no good." So Christian was pissed. But what's he going to do? He's at work. Well, the next day, he gets a call from Dylan that was something so no good that Dylan said he had to come see for himself. And he offered to come get him off the boat, which is not normal, okay, for him to have left during a 30-day stretch. But Christian convinced the captain to let him off the boat in New Orleans, where Dylan was waiting, and said he would be back by crew change the following day. So it's about a 3-hour drive to Meridian. So they drove back to the house. And according to Dylan, what happened was Christian and Whitley got into it about all kinds of shit. And Christian held a gun to his head. Dylan says he convinced him to put it down and he kept it from him until he calmed down. Dylan says Christian gave him his debit card and said, go to Chick-fil-A and stop by my bank and go ahead and take all the money out. Anybody else going, huh? Well, Dylan did go to Chick-fil-A and the bank and try to take all of Christian's money out. It's on film, but he didn't have the PIN, so they wouldn't give it to him. Well, back to what Dylan said happened. He said he got back and they watched movies and then he left again to run errands. He said Whitley was tired from all the, you know, no gooding that she had been up to. And so she took a nap. So Dylan says he arrived back at the apartment and found Christian dead by a self-inflicted gun wound to the head. And when he found him in the bathroom, he then woke up Whitley and called 911. On the 911 call, Whitley can be heard wailing in the background. It sounds pretty convincing to me in parts, but when you listen to the entire call, it's kind of questionable, in my opinion.
What is one lesson you learned the hard way? Let me tell you, in my early years, it was overspending, credit cards, and simply not putting my money where it could grow. You've heard us talk about Acorns before, and today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. April is Financial Literacy Month. That's right. They made a whole month reminding you to finally take control of your money. Good news is, you don't need 30 days. Acorns makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future in just 5 minutes. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you have is spare change. Honestly, you don't need a lot of time to set up. 5 minutes and you are on the road to your future. Currently, Kyla, my daughter, is looking into her future and the ways to make her money grow. You know, a car is right around the corner for this teenager. So teaching her the ways to invest with Acorns is making it so easy for us. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorn app today to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. April is Financial Literacy Month, the perfect time to start teaching your kids the value of money. And Acorns Early makes it easy with their Smart Money app and debit card for kids. Acorns Early Chores Tracker teaches kids that hard work pays off. You just set up their tasks, payment amount, tick off the chores when they're done, and boom, they've got money in their card. Saving goals help kids turn savings into habit. Kids get a new sense of independence when they spend what they earn with their very own debit card. Plus, kids can build up their money knowledge and their confidence with bite-sized financial lessons. Parents keep track of when and where their kids are spending, get real-time spending notifications. You know, it's a great, great thing. We do it for our kids. I actually am just going to start setting it up for my youngest, but Kyla loves it. She feels very like a grown-up, you know what I mean? But we still have control over what's going on. And it's a great way for her to start saving for a car, like I told you guys she was doing last time I talked about Acorns. Are you ready to help your kids grow money skills that will last a lifetime? Head to acornsearly.com/clink or download the Acorns Early app to get started. Sign up now and your first month is on us. Again, that's acornsearly.com/clink. Acorns Early card is issued by Community Federal Savings Bank, member FDIC, pursuant to license by MasterCard International. TNCs apply. Monthly subscription fees starting at $5 per month unless canceled.
Listeners, if you're a parent and your child always has questions on their homework, like mine, and you don't feel equipped to answer them, like me, and you want to save money on private tutoring, who doesn't? Then IXL is right for your family. IXL is an online learning program for kids that can be used on your computer, your phone, or your tablet with the app. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. I love it because of the way the program is designed to help kids really understand and master topics. It's so adaptive. So as your kid uses it, the program figures out what your kid needs more help with. Then it recommends more topics to practice and helps them build any any missing foundations and take on challenges when they're ready. IXL is backed by research, and it shows wherever you may be, from California to Florida to Kansas to Hawaii. The research is clear. When kids use this program, they get better test scores. Kids are smart. They may just need more support outside of school. Give them that extra help they deserve with IXL. If your child is struggling, this is a smart investment that you can make for them. Membership starts at only $9.95 a month. I love the value of IXL and how simple it is now for me to find the specific help my kids need. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Housewives of True Crime podcast listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. So police came and investigated the scene for all of 45 minutes. They determined it was an open and shut suicide, despite the coroner listing it as undetermined. Christian's parents were notified and, of course, devastated. Ray couldn't wrap her head around it because Christian was supposed to be on the boat. She had just talked to him earlier that day and he seemed fine. They talked about getting tickets to a Rihanna concert. But the officers brought them Christian's driver's license and told his parents that it was on him when they found him. Instinctually, Ray knew that he did not do this to himself, and she wanted to know who was with him. When she learned Whitley and Dylan were there and currently at the police station being questioned about it, she sent her brother down to see what was going on. She told him make sure Whitley did not have Christian's phone. The officers asked her for it, and she denied having it, only to produce it from her purse once they told her no one is leaving until we get his phone. Now, the excuse given for that is that she didn't want law enforcement to see all the naughty pictures on it. But come on, that seems pretty trivial given the circumstances. Another thing is, she also had an excuse for having gunshot residue all over her hands, and that was that she was out shooting guns the night before. Dylan also had gunshot residue on his hands, and Christian did as well. But even if we take Whitley's word for the reason she was hiding the phone, and we take her word for the reason why she has gunshot residue all over her hands is because she was out shooting, things still don't add up, like so many things. Like the actual gun didn't have prints on it. 'Twas wiped clean. Also, the gun was found on the opposite side of where he shot it, in his temple. Also, the bullet was found in the bathtub where Christian was slumped over, but it had flecks of wallboard in it. And you can see next to a plug on the other side of the bathroom where it had picked up that wallboard. Also, you can see in the photos that there is levity formed on the right side of his calf, like a lot. You know, that's where the blood pools in one direction after you die, but he's slumped forward with his knees to the ground. So it's very clear by this levity formation that he's been moved. Whitley does concede that she might have moved him when she reached into his pockets to get cigarettes. I don't even know what to do with that girl. Really? She also says she didn't hear the gunshot go off in a little apartment. Really, girl? She also said, when questioned, that she didn't think that Christian was ever suicidal before. I mean, remember all that talk about him holding all those times he held a gun to her head and held a gun to his head? And remember, she's saying that just happened earlier that day. Huh. I mean, that qualifies as suicidal to me. The gun, by the way, was also found cocked after it was shot. And it's one of those guns that don't cock itself. And then there's the rigor mortis situation. Well, Christian was in advanced rigor mortis when police arrived. And so he had clearly been dead for a couple more minutes than what Whitley and Dylan were claiming. And of course, so the speculation is he was already dead when Dylan went to the bank. There's even more wrong with the scene. Like, it looked like it had been cleaned up. There was no blood spatter on the side where it should have been, but there was a little bit on the outside of the door. Huh. How does that happen?
Listeners, has it ever felt like you're doing everything right, eating healthy, working out, and yet your energy still crashes or your mood swings hit out of nowhere like a twist in a crime story you didn't see coming? I've been there too, and what I've discovered is that many of these issues could be tied to hormonal imbalances, like a hidden criminal lurking in the background, throwing everything off track. But here's the good news. This is one criminal mystery you can solve with Happy Mammoth. No need for a long, deep dive investigation. Just take the free 2-minute quiz from Happy Mammoth. Answer a few questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can feel like yourself again. So check out Happy Mammoth, the creators of Hormone Harmony, because they are dedicated to making women's lives easier, especially moms. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. According to a survey, 86% of women started losing weight, 77% said it improved their mood, and the biggest benefit, 100% of women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CLINK for 15% off today. The struggle to lose weight is real, and I am all about the help wherever I can get it. How about y'all? Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compound semaglutide, the same active ingredients as the popular name brands, but for up to 80% less. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable and science-backed way. Getting started is simple. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. You guys, I am loving my NAD Plus and Metformin that I receive from Effecty. For me, the combo has been the jumpstart I needed to start the weight loss train and feel better while doing it. Are you ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners can get $50 off GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code CLINK at checkout. That's Effecty.com. EFFECTY.com and use code CLINK to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatments. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. Get started today. Hey guys, remember when I told you about the True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, I've got more details about this cutting-edge way to measure your biological age because it's seriously cool. The True Age Test is done at home, so no doctor visits or big needles, just a quick, painless finger prick. With the at-home kit, True Age analyzes hundreds of thousands of markers on your DNA using epigenetics to reveal your true biological age and how fast you're aging compared to normal. By the way, up to 90% of aging is driven by lifestyle and environment, not just genetics, which means knowing this information gives you the power to improve. True Age tells you how fast 11 key organ systems are aging, including your heart, brain, lungs, liver, and more. Ever wondered if your heart is older or younger than you are? Now you'll know. You'll also get a breakdown of 75 plus key longevity biomarkers, things like metabolic health, immune response, and even risk factors for certain conditions. True Age was developed by doctors and scientists from Harvard, Yale, and Duke, so these insights are backed by some serious science. The test is super easy and convenient. You send off that tiny sample in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and health. Fast and hassle-free. If you're serious about longevity or just curious about what your body's real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use my code CLINK to get 20% off your entire order. This is your chance to take control of your aging and make every year count more for your health. Visit truediagnostic.com and use code CLINK at checkout to get 20% off. So Ray and Todd, Christian's parents, they didn't have all this information yet right after learning that their son was dead, but they had enough to know he was murdered. So you can imagine how infuriating it was when they learned Dylan knocked on Christian's grandfather's door to find out when the life insurance was going to be paid out to Whitley, because she needed a car now that she didn't have Christian's BMW to drive. Fortunately, Whitley did not get to cash into that life insurance because Christian never changed the policy.
Christian's family, of course, wants whoever is responsible for his death to be held accountable, and they were in shock that there was not going to be an investigation. There was not going to be an investigation because the forensic pathologist that performed the autopsy listed his death as suicide. Well, they were not deterred by what Christian's death was labeled, and they continuously asked police to investigate. They were basically sent in circles between the detectives, the police chief, and the district attorney for years. But they persevered with continually uncovering new evidence with the help of private investigators. But they were still met with roadblock after roadblock. So it's really infuriating what I'm about to explain. So after the current police chief was fired, the police chief at the time of Christian's death, a new police chief took over and agreed to open an investigation. And he assigned a new detective. This detective came back with enough to charge Whitley and Dylan for manslaughter. And he wrote the warrants and, you know, everything. I mean, clearly the circumstances don't add up. Well, before the warrants could be served, the DA has to present the case to the grand jury. And that is the determining factor as to whether or not, you know, they can actually be indicted on charges. The DA presented the case to the grand jury and decided not to indict. Now, that just seems bananas because, I mean, I told you all this evidence about the gun and everything. I mean, overwhelmingly, it shows it's impossible for him to have shot himself. Well, as it turns out, the DA presented it to the grand jury without showing them the evidence that was in the last investigation. So the evidence that they were shown was all before the second police chief took over and had a detective look at it. In addition to that, he also showed the grand jury a video from another case where a man shot himself on the toilet and fell in a similar fashion to the position Christian was found in, into the tub. I mean, this is a real head scratcher because why on earth would the DA want to present something that sounds like a defense when they're trying to get something tried? Well, it's real messy, people. I've got to tell you, it's so important not to lose sight of the fact that a very loved young man lost his life. But I've also got to tell you, it's real hard not to get lost in the shitstorm that has been the aftermath because there is a lot. The podcast Culpable followed the case in 2019 and, you know, Todd and Ray's journey with all of the runaround and the private investigation. And they did an amazing deep dive job and they put the spotlight on all the injustice that's going down in Meridian. On the podcast, they never say who murdered Christian, but they state facts and they discuss theories. Now, one theory, they don't say like this is a theory, but I think they allude to this, is the reason the DA didn't want this to go to trial was because, remember how Whitley said she had been shooting the night before and that's why she had the gunshot residue on her? Well, she was with multiple people that night, and one of them was a DA's kid. Now, on the podcast, they refer to this as gun night, and there's all kinds of characters, you know, introduced. They do a real deep dive. Well, one of them says, you know, she shot a gun that night, and the rest say she doesn't. And the inference to presenting all this information is, in my opinion, is that there's some real shady business possibly going down in Meridian, Mississippi, with drugs, and possibly it's all connected. You know, these small town DAs have a whole lot of power, too much. And it's just awful that it's possible this abuse of power is keeping the Andricchio family from the justice they deserve, and those responsible for Christian's death are free. Well, maybe not free because of karma, but also because like a lot of them have actually been in and out of the clink, a lot of like drug charges, DUIs, stuff like that. So what is also really like suck city for the Andricchios is that there's a group of people that have had nothing better to do than harass the Andricchio family, because after the podcast dropped, they started getting a lot of unwanted attention. So I'm talking about like all these people that are affiliated with the gun night. So in retaliation, they started a Facebook page and went after Christian's character, which I would like to clarify. I told you about the texts that were sent from Christian's phone earlier that on the surface do not seem like they could have been manipulated because he wrote them while he was on the boat, or I should say they were sent while he was on the boat, while he was in possession of his phone. But apparently it's possible that by altering time zones, some of that could have been manipulated. And remember, I told you Whitley had his phone for a couple hours and lied about it before she finally relented and gave it up. My feeling is that I don't like what was written in those messages. But whether he wrote that or not, whether he is just the biggest asshole ever or the most genuine 21-year-old kid Mississippi ever met, it's kind of irrelevant. He was still obviously murdered and justice needs to be served. So this plot by this group of people to defame Christian was enacted, and part of it also entailed personal attacks on the Enrico family. And a YouTube true crime influencer was enlisted to propel this venomous defamatory bullshit. Her YouTube channel was Critical K. You can't find her anymore because the Enriquios sued her ass and shut her down. So I hate that they had to go through all that crap that goes along with, you know, lawsuits over lies about the son that they lost. Heartbreaking. Well, one of the most atrocious offenses against the Enriquio family is that the case file on Christian that they had been requesting for years was released publicly, and it included autopsy photos of him, which were splashed all over the internet. This is so unethical and just heartless. The podcast Culpable, the Enriquios, and some of the investigators made national news when Whitley Goodman and one Jet Miller, who was present on the gun night I've spoke about, filed a $48 million lawsuit against them for defamation. Well, the lawsuit was dismissed after Whitley's lawyer asked for a dismissal on the night before she was going to have to be deposed. But Jet did sit for his deposition, and I have listened to portions of it. And as I listened to as much as I could stomach, it's clear in my opinion that he has no interest in telling the truth about anything. From what I did listen to of the deposition, it went like this. So Jet, this lawsuit is about defamation of your and Whitley's reputation. So tell us about the reputations you have. Okay, long story short, sounds like even without the murder affiliation, the reputations of Jet and Whitley were not stellar. In my opinion. So where it stands today, 10 years later, is that every year in November on Christian's birthday, the Enriquios release lanterns to heaven as a way of letting Christian know that he is not forgotten. And the Enriquios are still fighting to get a special prosecutor appointed to the case that will fairly represent Christian as a homicide victim. And I hope they get the justice that they deserve. Okay, that's it for today. Clink, clink.
All right. Well, thank you, Gretchen, for that case. And thank you all for listening. Thank you for being here. And again, if you want more content on Thursdays, go to our bonus content, either on Patreon or Spotify or Apple Clink Clink Club. You can find us there, and everything is ad-free, and you get lots and lots of back episodes. Promise you there's tons and tons to binge there. Also, if you have not rated or reviewed Housewives of True Crime yet, please do so. There's ratings now on Spotify. You can even comment on Spotify. If you listen on YouTube, please follow right now and subscribe. And then just show us the love, you guys. We really appreciate it. We're also on Instagram. We are on TikTok. I feel like these days we're on everything. So the more that you guys give us love, the more that we feel the love, I guess. But anyways, have a super duper week, and I'll catch y'all on Thursday for our bonus content. Clink, clink.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.